Please open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. We'll be looking at Jesus' word on fasting. And the title of today's sermon is called True Fasting. And if you're able, please rise for the reading of God's words. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's quickly pray again. God, we come before your word, and I just pray that you would help us at this time. There have been many difficulties getting this worship started, and I just pray that you would continue to be with us, protect us, and carry us through this worship as we come before your word. We thank you in Jesus' name and pray. Amen. Well, I want to begin by saying that I love breakfast. I don't know if there's anyone else here who considers breakfast their favorite meal of the day. In fact, I will tell you one of my favorite breakfast places. It's actually called Jimmy's Place. Anyone know this one? Some people, Jimmy's Place. It's on North Road, right across the white spot there. It's kind of hidden. It's a hidden corner. It's where the plaza where the independent grocery used to be. There's like not a lot of stores there, but Jimmy's Place is still there. It's a great place. Speaking of white spot, right? They used to have like a couple of Benedicts that I really, really like, but they discontinued it. It was the shrimp Florentine and the smoked salmon one. Some people remember it, okay? So sad that they got rid of those. Now, why am I talking about breakfast? Because, you know, breaking fast is something that you enjoy, I think, right? Breakfast literally means you're breaking fast. That's the longest you go without food since you fall asleep, right, till the morning, and you finally get to eat. Not only are they delicious, but it energizes you and readies you for the day, right? That's why we eat, right? By breaking your fast, you're ready to face the day. But how often do we actually choose to fast instead of breaking fast, right? Instead of breaking fast, how often do we voluntarily fast? Now, anyone who had to go on a strict diet may know how painful or uncomfortable this is, or how depressing fasting can be, right? It makes you feel weak, hangry, edgy, right? It even gives you brain fog. But let me ask you this now then. How many of you have fasted for spiritual reasons this past year? Or when was the last time that you actually fasted so that you can be closer to God? We Christians, especially Protestant Christians, often emphasize giving, right, tithing, praying, reading the Bible, going on missions, discipleship, and so on. But we don't talk about fasting as much. Right? Think back. How often did you hear sermons on fasting? How often were you told to fast and so on? Right? I can admit too that I've only fasted a few times in my life. I just never grew up with it. Yes, there were times during like certain retreats where they would make you fast, but really behind the scene, it was for budget reasons. Like, they just didn't have the money to buy food for lunch. And you know, they're like, you know, we're going to fast for lunch and pray. I'm like, okay. Right. Now, fasting is hard, right? Because the hunger becomes more and more intense and we're not used to that, right? It's often hard to resist. You get hungry, you go to your pantry, you go to your refrigerator, you get something to eat. And most of us here probably don't have to worry about finding food either. Or you probably don't have to, you know, have sleep for dinner because you have no food at home. Right? You're hungry, you satisfy the hunger by eating. But what about your spiritual hunger? When was the last time that you felt spiritually hungry for God? Starving for God? And when was the last time that you sought spiritual sustenance to satisfy the hunger? This sermon is about that, fasting. So we're going through this section in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus talks about true righteousness that exceeds that of Pharisees and the scribes. And Jesus talks about three acts of piety that all Jews were required to do, right? Giving, praying, and fasting. In fact, these three we still do as well, even though we're not Jews, right? Especially during the Lent period. You may remember those three words that were on the screen this past March or February, right? Giving, praying, fasting. And here, even with fasting, as we have learned in the other two, there were those who were doing it for the wrong reasons. And Jesus warns us against such vain and false fasting. Now, because this topic is something we don't talk about or preach that often, I would like to go about it by showing you first what it isn't, what it is, and how we can do it. So true fasting is not, true fasting is, and true fasting is done this way. First, what is fasting? Right? The simple definition is where you skip eating, usually by choice. You wouldn't say that a person starving because of lack of food is fasting, right? That's not how that works. Fasting is done voluntarily. And fasting is not always spiritual either, right? There are people who fast for health and self-discipline reasons. There are people who fast for social reasons, right? Like if you have surgery too, like you have to fast for a certain period of time, depending on what kind of surgery is and things like that. And there are people who fast for spiritual reasons, of course. But even when people fast for spiritual reasons, it's easy to do it for all the wrong reasons as well. Arthur Wallace, author of the book God's Chosen Fast, which is regarded as a definitive modern classic on fasting, warns us against the motive of the heart. He says, God is not merely concerned with what we do, but why we do it. A right act may be robbed of all its value in the sight of God if it is done with the wrong motive. So let me first show you when true fasting is done in vain, what true fasting is not. Let me just give you three for today. True fasting is not for publicity. In our passage today, this is the one that Jesus warns against first and foremost. People who fast in order to be seen as pious. He says, and when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. And you could tell that a person's fasting because they would wear like sackcloth, nothing comfortable, right? They would put ashes on their head and their faces, and they don't wash their face, they don't anoint their head, right? This is an arid place, right? Desert, right? So they would have, the anointing is kind of like moisturizing your face, putting on the lotion to start the day. And they wouldn't do that, right? People can definitely tell when you are fasting. And these hypocrites were going around throughout the day, making sure that people knew that they were fasting, and even like disfiguring their face to show how hungry and how suffering they are. They were people who made it a point to let others know that they were fasting. Now, the Jews were only required to fast only once a year, okay? Only once a year on the Day of Atonement, and this is still true for today. It's called Yom Kippur. If you look at the calendar, you might actually see that like as one of the special days in the calendar. This year is happening on September 20th, okay? September 20th to 21st. This is the holiest of days in Judaism, right? The most holy day for them. And this is where all Jews are required to fast 25 hours with intensive prayer and seeking forgiveness. Now, in the Bible, it was the day when the high priest made a sacrifice to atone for the sin of all Israel. Here's Leviticus chapter 16, verse 29 to 31. It says, and it shall be a statute to you forever that in the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you shall afflict yourselves and shall do no work, either the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on this day shall atonement be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean before the Lord from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest to you, and you shall afflict yourselves. It is a statute forever. Right. Thankfully, you know, they're fasting. They don't have to do work, right? It works out for them too. But this is a day when all the sin of Israel was cleansed. And so it is a most holy day. And because God said, keep this forever, the Jews still keep it to this day. Again, this is the only day where fasting was required by law. However, the Pharisees, whom Jesus is also criticizing, fasted twice a week, not a year, twice a week. Why? to show that they were that much more devoted to God, more more pious, more righteous. And they wanted others to know. You see, there's nothing wrong to be walking around in public while fasting, but they were doing it for publicity. Not even for God, for themselves, to show how holier they are than others. And Jesus says that they have received their reward, for they were seeking the acknowledgement of the people, and so they received it. When we fast, Jesus wants us to look like we're going on about our day as usual. He doesn't want this to be like conspicuous. Now, the whole thing about, again, anointing your head and washing your face is like your daily skin routine in the morning, washing and moisturizing it before heading out in public. If others learn that we're fasting, like you caught me. No, like it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when we're trying to make others know that we're fasting in order to be seen as someone who is more righteous, who is holy. Because fasting, like giving and prayer, should be done before the audience of one, before our Father who sees us in secret, because that's really all that matters. You see, giving, praying, and fasting, it has to do with the different dimensions of our lives. Giving has to do with us, with others. Praying has to do with us and God, and fasting, it's about ourselves, right? Looking at ourselves and am I focusing on God or not? And we're doing all these three before God and God alone. Second, it's not a program. Whenever fasting is done as a program, the possibility of missing the point increases, I think. Maybe you've heard of something called the Daniel fast. It's based on Daniel chapter 1 and 10, where Daniel and his friends were only eating vegetables and water for 10 days. And in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel mourned and abstained from meat, wine, and luxurious food for 21 days. So the modern Daniel fast, as popularized by Susan Gregory, you go on by eating only plant-derived food, such as vegetables, fruit and legumes. And you do this for 21 days. No alcohol, no coffee, no sodas, only water for hydration. Now the problem is, people often focus on what they can and cannot eat instead of focusing on God. Apparently there's like a whole list of things that you're allowed to eat. And whenever there's a list, when it comes to something like fasting and stuff, I'm a little bit skeptical, right? It's almost as if you ate anything outside of this list, it's invalid. Your fast does not matter or just doesn't work. Now again, you're still eating food, okay? And you can still eat satisfying meals from plant-based food. In fact, you can grab plant-based burgers and have some French fries and it still be considered Daniel fast. Right? Now, once you've completed your 21 days, you feel good about yourself, thinking that it's achieved something. Now sure, something like the Daniel fast can help someone spiritually, but when it becomes a program where you're trying to keep to the list and regulations, it often misses the point. The point of fasting is to humble oneself before God by realizing that you are a finite, dependent being who needs God's provision day by day to survive. And fasting helps you to realize this spiritual need and helps you seek more of God. Just like the hunger pains that come, it reminds you, I need to seek more of God as well. That's the whole point of fasting. So fasting should be voluntary based on your spiritual needs. Now, that is not to say that a church or a nation collectively fasting together is wrong either, right? There are time and places for that too. The point is that fasting should not be the ends in itself. Like, yeah, I did the Daniel fast, right? As if that made you more righteous, but it's a means to an end. Again, fasting should never be the end itself, but it always is the means to an end. But fasting should not be a means to a selfish end either. So third, it is not to be for prosperity. Now again, if you've ever done something like 21-day fast, 40-day prayer, and things like that, anything where there's like a set number of days or things that you have to do, right? There's this glimmering hope inside you that maybe at the end of it, there's this new blessing that comes, you know? Like as if God's going to reward you for this. Like God is suddenly going to give you more blessings. I heard one pastor share a story of a man who had fasted and was rewarded by it, right? Before the man became a devout Christian, he had like $1,000 that he wanted to hide. apparently, like, some guy, he owes some guys money, and then he wanted to make sure that this money wasn't found. So he put it where nobody would look in, you know, look inside. The Bible. And in fact, he himself didn't read it because he totally forgot about this money. And one day he went to church on a Wednesday night, I think, and he was challenged to fast, right? And then as he was fasting, he suddenly felt this urge to get back to God. Right? I really need to get back to God. I really need to get back to God. And he went to his Bible, opened it up, and there found $1,000. Now, when I was hearing that story, I went, huh? Like, I was like, okay, like, this good, you know, fasting led that person to closer to God, and the reward is $1,000. I'm like, something went wrong there. That's the end? That's the reward? Right? You fast and you were rewarded financially? Now, the problem is, others listening to that sermon, that story, would have went home with the idea that fasting gets your rewards. Like financial rewards, tangible rewards from God, prosperity. That's not how this works. In fact, I'm going to tell you now, even at the end of your fasting period, you may not get anything either. And that's okay, right? It's not like you fasted wrong, like, oh, was that really like vegan or not? Like, no, it's not that, right? Fasting in order to get something from God is a lot like a child holding her breath in order to get something out of their parents. It's out of manipulation. It's not out of love. So then what is true fasting then? Well, let me go over this first by saying that true fasting is piety. It is a religious duty. Again, notice again how Jesus says, when you fast. When? In other words, fasting was something that believers did, right? It's not if you fast, when. It was part of their piety. It was one's religious duty. The hypocrites made their piety into publicity, which was a problem. But we must remember that fasting is a pious act that shows our faith. And for Christians, fasting is one of the ways in which we express the fourth beatitude, this new reality that we live in as Christians. Let me read that fourth beatitude to you again. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. By fasting, a Christian is saying that he or she is more hungry and thirsty for God than any other thing in this life. Again, the word righteousness here means to be in a right relationship with God. That's what you're hungry for. To be in a right relationship, right fellowship with God, and in turn with others. So true fasting is pious because it is about us seeking God more than our daily bread. Secondly, it is personal. Here again, for the third time, Jesus repeats the phrase, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Father. He doesn't say God who sees in secret. He says your Father who sees in secret. That word is a relational word. Right? You are fasting before God, who is a personal being. In Joel, a book of prophecy about the coming judgment and the salvation of the Lord, God urges the people to return to him through fasting. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. So true fasting is personal. It is not a mechanic, not formulaic, not done to some unknown being out there, but to a personal God who wants you to return to him. And that's why it should not be a program. It's not about keeping rules, but about relationship with the Father. And third, true fasting is for preparation, not prosperity. When we look at the Bible and see people fasting, it often happens before a significant event. For example, Moses fasted for 40 days and nights before receiving the Ten Commandments. He was getting ready to receive the covenant from God. In fact, he did it twice because what happened to the first tablets? He broke it, right? After seeing the golden calf, so he had to go up again, and he fasted 40 days again for that. We see in the book of Esther how Esther hears of the news that Haman wants to kill all the Jews in Persia. So she tells all the Jews to fast for 3 days, neither eating nor drinking in this case, and she and her young woman will do the same before approaching the king. Because you see, you can't just approach the king uninvited. He has to call for you first. You have to risk your life to go before the king when you're uninvited. So she's risking her life to do this. And before that, she asks everyone to fast with her. What about our Lord Jesus? Well, he also fasted 40 days in the wilderness before his public ministry. So again, for you, maybe if you have an important decision coming up where you need to seek God's guidance, perhaps you can fast. Fast so that you seek God more during that time. Not to like beg him for success, like, God, look how much I'm fasting, please let this work. No, to seek more of him, to seek his will, to seek his character, right? And to feel this need for God in your guts, literally, that you need God more than this thing. And that this, whatever this decision you're trying to do is according to God's will. And not only was true fasting for preparation, but it was also for petition, right? To change God's mind, a request. As opposed to fasting as a formula for prosperity, true fasting remembers that it is a petition, a request to God. Meaning God has a say. He can say yes or no. King David is seen fasting for his infant son, asking God to save him. Remember, this infant son is a son that he had illegitimately between him and Bathsheba through adultery. Now, you can really see in the verse that David knew that God was sovereign and that he was obedient unto God. Let me read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22-23. He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." See, David had fasted for 7 days for his son, hoping that God would save him, God would spare him. But God doesn't, and David is okay with that. Because his fasting was done as a petition, not a way to earn something from God. Another example, right? The Ninevites, for example, after hearing Jonah's message, they all fast and repent, hoping that God would not send them disaster to destroy them. They even got the animals to fast. I wonder how. And then, well, I guess you just don't give them food. But even the animals in that city, that great city, was fasting. And God sees them and decides to show mercy. So know that you can bring your requests to God through fasting, but know also that this is not a demand, not a formula, but a petition, a request. As though a child goes up to the father, to a parent, to ask for something, not demand something. Now, if you ever hear and true fasting is about promoting others, not my own prosperity. If you ever hear a sermon on fasting, you should expect to hear the mention Isaiah chapter 58. In fact, the heading for that chapter in Isaiah 58 is true and false fasting. Let me just read a few verses for you from Isaiah 58. Hear God's critique on false fasting and what he desires and see the parallel between Jesus' teaching as well. Let me read from verse 3 to 5. "Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it?" Right? These are what the people who are fasting to God were saying, right? God, like, we're doing all this for you. Why aren't you noticing it? And God says, "Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with the wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" Again, that chapter talks about God critiquing the way people were fasting. And then what does God say about true fasting then? He says, "Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the strap of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house, when you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." But there's more that God says, but I'll stop there. Fasting in and of itself is abstaining from food, but that's not the end, but the means to an end. And the end is to know God and to understand his heart. And God wants us to turn our eyes to others in need, those who are actually hungry and in need in some way. You see, when people fast, often they often gave food that they skipped to others in need, right? They have this much portion of food that they were going to eat for that day. By fasting and praying, they would actually give that to someone else in need as well. True fasting is never about myself and my own prosperity, or even my own spirituality even. Not just that, right? It's not less than that, but it's more. It's about promoting the lives of others through my fasting. For that is the true fasting our Lord desires. So there we have a portrait of what true fasting is and is not. And so again, here's the list again, right? True fasting is not about publicity. It's not about programs. It's not about prosperity. It is an act of piety to a personal God. It is for preparation, for petition, and for promoting others. So then how do we practice this in our lives then? Well, you probably noticed the pattern, but I'll give you four more P's. First, the true fasting is done with a purpose. Right? Don't just fast, right? Do it with a purpose. When you decide to fast, write on a little piece of sticky note. It's just a practical tip, right? Why you are doing this. Are you doing this to have a right relationship with God again? Is it for more for personal reason with God, right? Personal relationship with God? Or is it for petition, right? Are you trying to request something? What is it, right? Write that purpose. Write down what it is that you want to achieve through this fasting so that you don't lose focus of it. For whatever it is for, it should ultimately bring you closer to God. For Jesus said, "Your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And what is that reward? As with giving and praying, it's the same here. It's a closer fellowship with God, understanding his heart. By choosing to forego your bodily needs, you are choosing to focus on your spiritual needs, seeking God who can satisfy your spiritual hunger and thirst. Second, do it for a period. On the same piece of paper, set a deadline. Right? I understand that for some people, fasting for more than 3 days is very difficult given the type of work that you do. Right? Set a period. And some of the reasons will naturally have a deadline. Like, let's say you have an interview coming up next week which may change your life, right? Then that would be the period that you have. And for others, set a period that you're more intentional, so that you're more intentional with your time. And do it with practicality. What do I mean by this? Right? Fasting doesn't have to be just about abstaining from food. Sometimes you may have jobs where you can't abstain from food, right? It can be a full fasting where you have no food nor drink, or even partial fasting like the Daniel fast that we saw, right? And it doesn't even have to be about food, but it has to be something practical or meaningful. For someone who doesn't drink coffee, for example, to say that he is going on a coffee fast, it doesn't mean anything, right? But is there something in your life that you just simply cannot live without? Is it your phone? Is it social media? Is it your hobby? Is it your spending habit? What are some of your non-negotiables in life right now? And now, can you go on a fast on those things for a set period of time? Are there things that are taking your focus away from God? Then can you say goodbye to them? Right? Fasting is a great way to self-diagnose any idols in my life that may take up more of my time and focus and desires away from God. Choose that which will help direct your focus back onto God the most. And lastly, and probably most importantly, do it with prayer. Again, if you just fast by abstaining from food but don't do it prayerfully, that's not dying to self to seek more of God. That's just diet. Right? When you fast during the time when you will be eating, pray instead. Right? Your lunch is from 12:30 to 1. Don't just like go on your phone and try to forget about your hunger. Pray during that time. Use that time to pray instead. By doing so, you're actually expressing your faith that God is more important than any other thing that you are willing to, and that you're willing to follow Him at all costs, even at the cost of your health and your bodily needs. As Andrew Murray, the famous Dutch writer, once said, prayer is reaching out after and after the unseen, fasting, letting go of all that is seen and temporal. Fasting helps express, deepens, confirms the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain what we seek for the kingdom of God. Fasting is a reminder to us disciples who want to follow Jesus at all costs. So dear Sunflower Church, this is what Jesus did for us first. He sacrificed everything on the cross so that we can attain the kingdom of God, so that we can be in the presence of God. And because of His sacrifice, we are able to approach God in our prayers, seeking Him through fasting, trusting in the promise that the Father sees us and hears us, and that He will satisfy us. And we know this because He sent us Jesus, who is the bread of life and the living water, who fills our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst like nothing else. So may your eating or drinking or fasting give glory to God. Let me end with this verse here. So whether you eat or drink or not, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come before You as we are, as dependent, finite, mortal beings who sometimes forget that we need You more than the air we breathe, more than the food that we eat or drink. We need You more than anything. May fasting remind us of that truth, that we are beings who cannot live a single moment without You. If we decide to practice this, God, help us in these things as we try this out in our lives, maybe for the first time, but show us the benefits of it. Show us the blessings of it as we receive the reward from our Father who sees us in secret. We thank You, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.